news, reviews, commentary, not just another podcast,
are the ordinary the Big Ball Broadcast.
10 times more fulfilling than the ending of Matrix Revolutions.
Now here comes your host, Kyle Abear, and all the world sees.
We're only 17. 17! Yeah, episode 17 of the Big Ball Broadcast. My name is Kyle Abear. I'm a professional voice actor based in Los Angeles. You can hear me on Full Metal Alchemist and Dragon Ball Z, currently on Cartoon Network.
And this is your co-host, Otherworld Steve. I'm an anime journalist and webmaster of KyleAbear.com.
We're here to talk about all things geeky. Each and every week we come to you pre-recorded, because, hey, podcasts aren't live after all. Steve is on one side of the country, I'm on the other, and between the both of us, we just spend all week looking up geeky stuff. Video games, movies, high tech, we got all sorts of stuff. And this week, we're going to tease you here. We've got movie reviews on some of the biggest movies that are out now. You know what we're talking about. We've got the Chronicles of Narnia and King Kong, and we're going to give you our views on those coming up, and some anime-related news. First of all... That's a great way to start. If you have comments for the show, you need to give us a call on the listener line. Now, note that me and Steve do not answer this actual phone. It's a voicemail service. But whether you have comments on any of the topics we discuss or opinions on the topics or suggestions, we are open to it all. And you might find yourself smack dab in one of our episodes. So call us at 818-574-3607. That's 818-574-3607.
Now would be an appropriate time to mention the listener survey that is over on the official Big Bald Broadcast page. It's thebigbaldbroadcast.blogspot.com. It serves multiple purposes. So please, you know, you can take the survey while you're listening to the podcast. It's only going to take about 3 to 5 minutes of your time. Again, I implore you, please do that for us.
And if you're a fellow podcaster and you have a promo you'd like to hear used on the show, well, we can work that out. We have a promo that you could play for us. For more information, drop us a line at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. Also, send any inquiries about advertising or sponsorship opportunities, because we'd love to talk to you about that stuff.
We determined a long time ago we were never going to get rich from the internet, but it certainly helps to offset some of our costs, because these podcasts do take time. It takes time away from other projects we're involved in. Broadband is awfully expensive, as is our cell phone bills, calling each other during peak hours because of the cross-country phone calls. So help us out there, kids.
You can use the PayPal icon on the blog page to donate a couple bucks. We're not asking much, just whatever you can spare.
Start off on some geeky tech news, because there's no better news than geeky tech news. If you've been wondering about when Blu-ray is going to be coming to your neighborhood, I could say conservatively sometime next year.
Is that the sequel to that Jamie Foxx movie, Ray?
I don't think it's that closely related. DVDs, Blu-ray, movies, I guess they're distant cousins. But there's been some news on the Blu-ray front. Panasonic has announced that they've started replication of their 50 gigabyte dual-layer BD-ROM media in their Torrance, California plant, and what they're doing is they're beginning production so that the manufacturers can start testing their hardware. Hopefully by the end of December, they'll be getting that out to their testers. And the Blu-ray Disc Group is expected to begin making specific announcements about their planned spring 2006 release at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas early next month.
Now, I was reading a few weeks ago that the first movie title on Blu-ray will be Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
That's a really weird choice for a debut launch title.
Yeah, now, I personally like the movie, but the critics just took a royal dump on it, and it didn't do nearly as well as the original Charlie's Angels, and even then, out of all the movies out there, wow, don't know the thinking behind that one.
Apparently there was none.
Okay, target audience, male geeks, what do they like? Hot chicks.
I guess. I could think of a few better titles than that, though. But I guess thank God it's not Catwoman. Blu-ray's planned launch, spring 2006, also coincides with Sony's release of the PlayStation 3. So it seems that it was an intentional marketing strategy to get the media out at the same time a somewhat affordable Blu-ray player will also be hitting shelves. So coincidence? I don't think so.
Yeah, now isn't Microsoft supposedly going to be working on yet another version of the 360 that'll be like HD compatible?
Actually, I read an article right before we started podcasting that debunked that.
Yeah, I figured they wouldn't bother just getting another version out there. I mean, it's already annoying enough that people who want the Xbox 360 have to pay exorbitant amounts on eBay.
Microsoft says that it currently has no plans to release an Xbox 360 equipped with next-generation DVD player. The unusually direct statement is a straightforward denial of a report from a Japanese news service which claimed that the company planned to launch an HD DVD-compatible Xbox in 2006. Apparently, those rumors are false.
All right, then. In other video game news, Super Dragon Ball Z is coming to Japanese audiences for PlayStation 2, at least in spring 2006. This was originally supposed to be in arcades, but it is coming to the PS2. Now, will it come to America? I don't know. Chances are good because, you know, the Budokai series is, of course, huge, and Tenkaichi is like the best of the series so far, certainly the hardest. And if you guys want to check out screen caps of this new Dragon Ball Z video game, just head on over to IGN.com.
Now, from what I can tell from these very basic and preliminary images, is that it looks very similar to the Budokai series. And I don't know if that's intentional, if they try to expand on the Budokai franchise by releasing this in arcades. But of course, you know, where everybody and anybody, even grandmothers, have home consoles, the arcade market, you would imagine, must be relatively small. Sounds like a good idea to go ahead and get it out on the consoles. It's probably going to do very well. All of the Budokai games have done very well. Tenkaichi is an awesome, awesome game that I still can't stop playing, so I'm really looking forward to Super Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it for multiple reasons. Maybe the cast will get to come together again and provide voices for it, and that would be awesome. That'd be a nice payday. Video game developers who make arcade games have to try all the harder to create something that's going to hold the attention of a video gamer. For example, I went into Little Tokyo in Los Angeles here, and they had an arcade, and they had these huge games. I mean, Dance Dance Revolution and all the offshoots. You had a guitar-themed one, a drum-based one. All of these are huge things that, you know, the player has to sit inside or reach across to hit the different things on. And, of course, it's $1 a play.
It really parallels what the Motion Picture Association is experiencing with theatrical releases versus DVD releases and BitTorrents. It has to be impressive, but at the same time, being impressive does cost money. So, like you said, when you walk into an arcade, the days of the quarter machine are far, far gone.
I can't speak for every gamer out there, but when I look at the price and go, man, for $50... you know, eventually this will probably come to the home console. I can pay $50 one time, and I will own it forever. I don't have to worry about wasting $1 on 3 minutes of gameplay on something brand new that I'm trying out, and then that's it? That's it? Okay, well, let's go home, guys.
And one thing I had mentioned before, as unscrupulous and potentially illegal as it is this wonderful product that's on the market called HD Advance, which I'm a proud owner of, which enables you to download, quote-unquote, legitimately purchased PS2 games directly to a hard drive peripheral that plugs into the PlayStation 2. Now, again, it has to be the older model PS2 that has the drive bay on it, not the new slimline versions. But I guess if you were creative, you could go to your local Blockbuster, rent a few games, and dump those to your hard drive. Not that I'm, you know, trying to put any thoughts in anybody's heads. I'm just saying, if you were that type of person, that's something you might do.
Not me. I'm a good guy.
Yes, that statement was strictly for educational purposes only.
Any Trekkers out there? I have some Trek news coming up next on the Big Ball Broadcast.
I wasn't shy anything, just minding my business, and got zombies in the hallways. I kept telling people about this. Yeah, I love my life. Maybe here's zombies!
Something's coming.
Part 5 Central. Reactor 2005 audio coverage, part 3. Farewell, the memories of that time. Coming soon.
At last, everything will truly be
complete.
Welcome back to episode 17 with Otherworld Steve and Kyle Hebert. A new Star Trek movie apparently is in the works. Some rumblings out there that Star Trek captains William Shatner, Patrick Stewart, and Scott Bakula are set to join forces in a new movie that will be set in the Mirror universe that was featured in the Enterprise TV series and Next Generation. Apparently, that's probably the only way you could have Captain Kirk, who was, spoiler, killed in Generations, the movie. Shatner apparently was in talks to do a guest role on Enterprise, but that didn't work out because Shatner wants a lot of money, and I guess they couldn't provide it. Now they're trying to tweak that into a movie, I guess. And Shatner's had some ideas boiling around. He wants to create a prequel series, yet another prequel series in the Star Trek universe. We'll see what happens with that. I don't consider myself much of a Trekker anymore. I know Trekkie is kind of like calling someone an otaku. It's a negative connotation, but I've lost interest since Next Generation, basically.
I think it's difficult because there's always been that rivalry, the Trekkies versus the Star Wars fans. And I think if you and I had to wave our battle flags, it would definitely be on the side of Star Wars. So
different ways of approaching science fiction. There's a definite mindset with Star Trek movies where every alien has to have some sort of forehead appliance.
And of course they all speak English.
Or British, because, you know, the British are inherently evil.
Okay, speaking of Star Wars and evil, a while back we had discussed Star Wars Episode 3 being leaked on the internet the day before the theatrical release. A man in court admitted that he uploaded a copy of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, onto the internet the night before the film's worldwide theatrical release. His name is Mark Hoagland. He's 36. And he pled guilty in the Los Angeles court to uploading copyrighted work being prepared for commercial distribution. And this violation is considered a felony. And he has a plea deal in place. And right now he's facing a sentence ranging from probation to 6 months behind bars. And his sentencing is set for March 6, 2006. He's one of eight people who are allegedly involved in passing along the stolen copy of the film. Now, while he's being charged with a felony because he admitted to uploading it, the other defendants in the case are only being charged with misdemeanors for willfully infringing on a copyright. And according to prosecutors, the source of the pirated copy was a post-production facility where a worker took home a copy. Now, it's unclear whether or not Mr. Hoagland is the employee who took home the copy or not, or if that's one of the other unnamed defendants. For my two cents, I'm surprised they're not going after him for money, which is what the RIAA does. The RIAA isn't going after anybody to prosecute them to make them serve jail time. They'd rather get recompensated for that lost money. But with this guy here being charged with a felony, and because George Lucas is like really strong against internet pirating, they're really going to make him a scapegoat.
Most fans don't have money. It's just not realistic for a big multi-million dollar corporation to say, all right, this one individual, you're going to have to pay me millions of dollars. I mean, what's the chances this guy even has a third of that?
I just wonder if that really gets the point across. It would be interesting if he actually only gets the slap on the wrist and gets probation, because I don't think that probation is really going to stop anybody from continuing to upload movies onto the internet. I know if I was slapped with probation, it would be just that, just a little slap. If I had to go to jail for 6 months, yeah, I think I'd probably think twice about doing it again. If you were to, say, attach my wages for the rest of my life and take, you know, 20% of my weekly gross income, I would guarantee that I would never upload a movie or even download a movie on the internet again. So it's going to set an interesting precedent. You know, he's dealing with a U.S. district judge. It is a felony. Kiddies, don't download movies unless you want to get in a lot of trouble.
I know that if I got in trouble over something like that, even getting probation would scare me, because they have the means to track people right now, and they're going to keep an extra eye on the people who have done it and been convicted of it. I would think you are in constant danger of being caught again, so if you even think of doing something like that, they will pounce on you.
Who was the famous hacker? Kevin Mitnick, I believe his name was. Dude was infamous, I guess, for hacking. And one of the terms of his probation was that he couldn't touch a computer. I mean, even if he walked into a Best Buy, he couldn't even go over and touch the keyboard of a laptop, or, you know, that'd be a violation of his probation and he would go back to jail. So I'm assuming, of course, that if this guy does walk away with something as little as probation, that there may be some stipulation in there that he would have limited internet access, or I certainly don't think he'd be able to work at that production company company anymore, where he's already got stolen merchandise from there. If, in fact, he did work there, because we're still confused about that. But if they constitute him as being that kind of threat.
Man, if I was denied access to a computer, I think I'd die.
We live in that society now where we're reliant on our computers. I guess the other weird thing, too, is with cell phones nowadays, having internet access and email and instant messengers, if that would constitute computer use, he can get a double whammy, no computer and no cell phone. But speaking of being tracked, in a related story, apparently if you bought a new computer recently, it probably has a chip inside it called a TPM chip. And TPM stands for Trusted Platform Module. Now, essentially what that means, without giving you this long, boring story, it is the end of anonymity on the internet. This chip provides foolproof verification of who you are. Although it's inactive in most computers, it can be activated at any point, essentially, you know, from somebody typing in a few commands on the internet. This move has been led by AMD, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, Microsoft, and Sun. And essentially, they can just go ahead and activate this chip. And if you were to go to, say, a peer-to-peer site or a BitTorrent site and download something, and then later on contest it and say, well, that wasn't me, they can prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was in fact you. So, again, another reason not to be downloading stuff on your computer.
That kind of does the job for the U.S. government. I mean, why worry about wiretapping anymore? All sort of suspicious activity can be tracked and traced with your very own computer.
It's showing what a hot topic subject living in a post-9/11 society has become.
If you have any thoughts, please share it with us on our listener line at 818-574-3607, especially if you've ever known anyone or had any sort of run-ins with this sort of technology. We want to hear about it, so call the listener line, 818-574-3607.
And then yet another related story, Merry Christmas from the RIAA. Apparently, the RIAA has dropped 751 copyright infringement lawsuits in the mail, bringing the total number of legal actions this year against alleged peer-to-peer infringers to more than 7,000. And they cite individuals for illegally distributing copyrighted music on the internet through peer-to-peer services such as LimeWire and Kazaa. Apparently, the bulk of these suits are being aimed at Drexel University, Harvard, and the University of Southern California. These damn college kids.
WinMix is gone too, right?
WinMix is gone. It's been gone for a few months now.
You want this music? Go to Best Buy the week it comes out and get a good deal on it.
Just make sure it's not released by Sony BMG and has rootkit software installed on it.
Because once you buy that CD and you decide, oh, I want to make a copy for my buddies, Men in Black will show up and kill you in your sleep.
After emptying your wallet and your bank account.
Can't forget that. Still to come on the Big Ball Broadcast, we got some emails. Finally, some people wrote us, and from a long way away, plus our reviews of The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, and some giant ape film, something, you know, I never heard of it, some independent flick. Anyway, that's coming up on the Big Ball Broadcast.
Kyle and Steve, thanks for putting on a Big Ball Broadcast. Great from week to week. MC here calling with a couple of thoughts on some new movie trailers. There was a trailer released for Miami Vice, based on, of course, Michael Mann's original TV series, and it's good to hear that Michael Mann is going to be directing this new movie featuring Colin Farrell. The actual trailer does not look very exciting, though. It's not filled with any dialogue or any particular moments that look interesting. Mostly scenes from the movie played to the tune of Linkin Park music, which is never a good sign. The other trailer is for Mission Impossible 3. If you saw Mission Impossible 2 and you liked it, then you and I have a lot in common. I actually thought that was a pretty entertaining film, and I liked the first one, so I'm looking forward to this. The villain is going to be played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's one of my favorite actors. It'll be good to see him in a villain part, even if it's going to be in a typical Tom Cruise action film. My only concern is, what's going to happen to Tom Cruise once this movie is about to come out? How crazy is he going to go this time? With any luck, he'll come on to a talk show dressed in his gear from The Last Samurai and stab himself to death. Until then, enjoy King Kong this weekend. I know I will. And talk to you later.
BigBallBroadcast.blogspot.com. Fill out the listener survey. Donations are graciously accepted via PayPal. BigBallBroadcast.blogspot.com. That is all.
You are listening to the Big Ball Broadcast. We come to you on a weekly basis with news that you can use on all things geeky. Sexy. Next up, what are your New Year's plans? Well, if you're sitting at home, like I will be. No, hopefully I'll have something to do. But maybe have your TiVos, guys, because Cartoon Network is going to have a Naruto marathon. Or as Cartoon Network used to call it, Naruto. Saturday, December 31st, starting at 2:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, you're going to get 17, count them, 17 consecutive episodes. This is an 8.5-hour marathon, concluding with a brand new, never-before-seen episode starting at 10:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. And this is like the next big show out there. This is like Dragon Ball Z-style proportions. And I'm going to be on this show starting probably around springtime as the character of Kiba. He's not going to be in these episodes. This is like probably the first 17. So if you've been wondering what it's all about, check out the Naruto marathon on Cartoon Network on New Year's Eve. Booyah.
That is really good news, especially for somebody like me living this hustle and bustle lifestyle. I've missed a lot of Naruto episodes. I've probably only seen the first three. Awesome opportunity to catch up on the series. This is really the next big best thing out there. At least learn some of the backstory prior to Kyle's appearance in the show, so you know totally what's going on and you're comfortable with the characters, and then we can all applaud Kyle. Yay! He's in Naruto.
Because it's all about me.
Let's make it about me, too.
Yeah.
Go out and pick up the new issue of Beckett Anime Collector. As I mentioned last week, it's the first issue that uses official art from the Japanese. It's a Naruto cover, and it features a spectacular, wonderful, phenomenal interview with the voice behind the lead character of that show, Naruto, Miss Maile Flanagan. So go pick that up and read all about the voice behind Naruto.
Steve is not the kind of person to ask the stupid, obvious questions like, what's it like being Naruto? Nah, Steve is a really, really good writer, and he's providing some of the best content out there in anime publications. So definitely pick it up at your nearest newsstand or anime store or bookstore. Support the cause.
Yes, we like it when you support the cause. And I can leak this out if we all promise to keep it under wraps, all 110 people that listen to the show a day. There will be an interview with Kyle coming up in Becca at some point regarding him voicing Kiba.
And I promise Steve will ask, how did I get started in voice acting and how he could get started in voice acting? That's a joke.
Yes, it will not turn into a All About Steve interview, I promise.
This time.
But if you have a website and you want to interview me.
There you go. Now, Steve is like infamous for being anonymous. The last thing you'll ever see is another World Steve website because he likes to stay unviewed by the public, I guess.
I like to stay in Otherworld. I try to protect my anonymity as long as the government will allow me to.
Yay!
Marvel Comics, beginning to bring comics into the digital age. Marvel Comics has opened a new section on their website for digital comics, with debut titles being Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man No. 1, She-Hulk No. 1, Captain America No. 1, and Franklin Richards, Son of a Genius. And these comics do require the latest Flash plugin to view. Free registration with the Marvel website is also required, and the digital section of the site is live now. Marvel editor-in-chief Joe Quesada stated that Marvel may release selected webcomics as, quote, mini animated movies in the future as a way of taking advantage of this medium. People who have acknowledged that we live in a new day and age and digital media is really taking off and people may not be hitting the newsstands as often as these companies prefer, so another way to get their product, their medium out to the public. Check it out. I believe it's Marvel.com. If it isn't Marvel.com, it's MarvelComics.com. And if I'm wrong on both accounts, I will put the correct URL in our show notes.
I remember like either last year or a couple years ago, Marvel was trying something new with DVD, taking the still shots from the actual comic book, adapting it, and making like a radio play out of it, an audio dramatization that you could watch on your DVD, you could watch the panels, and then listen to a voice-acted dramatization of that story. And several titles came out, but I don't think it sold very well because they haven't continued them. But this seems like a much wiser step. As people are so tuned in with the internet nowadays, and they're all into downloading this and that. So that's a smart move on Marvel's part.
I guess the next logical step for them to take to provide the content in another format other than Flash so that you can download it to your video iPod.
kudos to Stan Lee. I don't know if this was Stan Lee's idea, but I know that he's been very into adapting the comic medium and melding it with the internet. He hasn't been 100% successful, but I mean, and not like the guy needs the money. He's already drowning in money, but you know, he's a legend and he's been around for decades and continues to strive for new and interesting ways to adapt the comic medium and continue to make it interactive. So I think that's really, really cool of him to do.
A couple years ago, I had the awesome privilege of sitting down with Monkey Punch, who many of you may know is the original manga creator for Lupin the Third, and he is very much like Stan Lee, really involved in the push for a digital medium, and he's a member of a club called JMAC, which is the Japanese Macintosh Artist Club. They're a group of manga artists from titles such as City Hunter, Galaxy Express 999, Cutie Honey, Devilman, and they're all going to find a way to provide manga content online and also have it economically viable. So it's not just something that's going on here. It's something that's also going on the other side of the world. So it's a big push. I mean, these are big names. You know, Stan Lee and Monkey Punch, it's really huge. And maybe at some point we'll have a joint effort to really launch this medium and just really make sure that everybody has full and total access to this very cool stuff.
Well, Steve and I have recently actually got out of our respective homes and had a chance to go to the theater and check out some big screen blockbusters for the holiday season. I got to see King Kong a few days before it came out. My thoughts on this, you definitely need to see this in the theater. Do not wait for the DVD. I think Peter Jackson has made a really, really amazing, faithful, and thoroughly entertaining movie. It is over 3 hours long, and it feels like it, too. And I'm going to say it is not perfect. It's too long. It could stand to be trimmed here and there. I think the acting is top-notch. I think Jack Black did a really good job as Carl Denham, the filmmaker that was in the original 1933 version. I think Naomi Watts does a wonderful job. You know, she's Babelicious, and she plays the Fay Wray role really, really well as Anne. Adrian Brody, he looks a little strange because he's got that big honker, but he's a likable guy. They adapted his role of Jack Driscoll to be a screenwriter in this version. Andy Serkis, who provided the motion capture for Gollum and also did the voice, did the motion capture for King Kong in this, and it's some amazing work from Weta Digital Workshops. You can see Andy Serkis plays the chef on board the boat that they take to Skull Island. And, of course, the showcase is King Kong, and the effects are just jaw-droppingly amazing. Not all of them work that well. I think if there were a few more months of post-production, they could polish some things, because it's not all great, but Kong does look amazing. Dinosaurs look amazing. There's a fight with not one, not two, but probably like three T-Rexes that just has to be seen on the big screen. I can't stress that enough. Yeah, your butt will be sore, and you'll probably have to bring some Kleenex, too, because the emotions run pretty high on this. You totally buy the relationship between Kong and Anne. It just plays really well. The score is beautiful. Again, the cinematography, the visual style, Peter Jackson and everything, it just comes alive. He's recreated New York from that Depression era. I sure felt like I was in Depression era New York City. Just amazing, amazing stuff. A very thoroughly entertaining movie. King Kong from Peter Jackson, two thumbs way up.
I had my Christmas miracle. I left the house and saw a movie theatric. I saw The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. Now, I have to admit, I never did read any of the novels by C.S. Lewis, so I did go into this relatively cold. But in the end, a thoroughly entertaining movie. The lion in the story, his name's Aslan, he's voiced by Liam Neeson. And I have to say, that's probably one of the things that stuck out the most with me in this movie, was hearing that very familiar voice. Yet it didn't detract from the character, which I think, it didn't detract from the story, hearing this very familiar voice, which I think is certainly a testament to his abilities. And Liam Neeson, not somebody necessarily known for doing strictly voice work. I think he pulled it off really well. But speaking of voice work, I'm not familiar with the guy who voices one of the talking wolves, but it is definitely one of the best voices I think I've heard in a long time. It's really creepy, and it really sounds like a wolf would sound if he was talking to you. Really, really cool. Good digital effects, but not the greatest. Now, this movie's brought brought to us by Disney, who did have a long-running relationship with Pixar, which apparently fell to the wayside. I wonder what it would look like if Pixar was in charge of the digital animation. I don't want to say it's mediocre. It's better than some things you might see late at night on the USA Network. For a really big film like this and then really highly anticipated, I wish they would have put a little bit more effort into the digital effects. And the epic battle at the end, not as epic as something like the Lord of the Rings trilogy, not nearly as many characters on the screen, but it does come across with some emotion and some urgency. And I would have to encourage everybody to go out and at least check it out once theatrically. To date, the movie's made $116 million worldwide with a production budget of $180 million. So I'd imagine by this weekend, they'll be in the black. Again, $116 million worldwide, that's almost four times what Serenity has made to date.
But it also has a bigger fan base. I think we've had many, many years since C.S. Lewis's books have come out, and then, you know, the BBC did an adaptation that apparently was god-awful in the 80s, but now you have this, and, you know, it's ironic that the effects don't work 100%, because it's also Weta Workshop's doing. Of course, I guess simultaneously they were working on Kong, and may have probably focused on that a little more so.
I have to apologize. I know that was kind of a low blow to Serenity, but I do have some good news, and no, it has nothing to do with my car insurance. As of this podcast, Serenity is only about $1 million short of breaking even on their production budget. Their production budget, about $39 million, and worldwide, they've made a little over $38 million. And that is just strictly box office alone. And with the DVD hitting shelves this Tuesday, it should definitely be back in the black, so to speak. So, good news for Browncoats. Kind of weird for me to be bringing you that news. I guess it kind of might breathe some more life into a potential sequel.
I think it will. I know that the fan base is there, and they're very passionate. Did they come out in droves at the theater? No. I don't know if you can attribute that to, oh yeah, the fan base isn't as big as we thought, or is it a marketing thing? It's hard to say. I think it's a little bit of a multitude of elements. I think a lot of people don't want to pay exorbitant prices to see it in the theater. I think there's a large portion of the audience who want to just wait and catch it and walk down to Blockbuster and rent it, maybe. Other people are just like, yeah, I'll just wait till the DVD comes out. Or others will just wait till it comes on TV, like HBO and all that. But the continued homegrown publicity campaign for the Browncoats has definitely, I think, had a big effect on getting the word out there. I think Serenity will be regarded in the future as an underdog success.
If you didn't watch Firefly, which is where this all spun off from, when it aired on Fox, then you were kind of clueless about, you know, why the movie came out and why is there a following for a series that didn't last too long on network television. I, for one, didn't watch any of Firefly when it aired, so when the movie came out, there was no urgency for me to run out to the theater and see it. Will I watch it eventually on TV or on DVD? Maybe.
I think something that got lost is the fact that the movie does play from the beginning. You get all the exposition you need. You do not have to have seen Firefly to enjoy Serenity at all. It helps, but unlike other movies spawned from TV series, this one totally wraps it up in a self-contained movie. I did view it with some people who had never seen Firefly before, and they really enjoyed the film, and it got them interested in checking out Firefly, even though the movie technically is a sequel or a continuation of where the TV series would have gone. So I think if the Browncoats are able to convince more people that you can just watch this, it's a self-contained movie, maybe that'll help win over some new people.
I think it's a very valid point for you to bring up. I wasn't necessarily aware of that you could go into it relatively cold, and I think maybe that could help change the mind of some people who had that mindset, much like myself. So say it loud, say it proud, getting that word out there. You don't necessarily have to be a fan or have seen Firefly to enjoy Serenity. So maybe I'll download it. I mean, I'm buy the DVD coming this
You're
Tuesday.
A bad boy, Steve. Fans of the Wachowski brothers will be intrigued to know that their new film, V for Vendetta, has a new trailer online. You can link to that via apple.com. This does feature Hugo Weaving from The Matrix and also Natalie Portman, who has shaved her head for this role. Pretty interesting. It's based on a graphic novel from Alan Moore, and he distanced himself from the project, which is usually a very bad sign. He did that with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and yeah. So, what to expect from V from Vendetta. Actually, the buzz is really, really hot right now. I was reading on Ain't It Cool News, and they are just gushing over.
I was watching Attack of the Show today on the G4 network, and they did bring up the fact that Alan Moore did distance himself from the project. But the take that they took on it was, don't really take it personally as Alan Moore not endorsing the film or thinking it was crap and walking away from it. Apparently, Alan Moore is a kind of weird individual who really doesn't respect the film media. Don't let that make you decide whether or not you're going to see this movie theatrically or not, because Alan Moore is just a kind of flitty person, and you really can't take it to heart that he did distance himself from it. And the reviews have been, like, absolutely spectacular for this. And again, I would assume that it's going to give you all that backstory required, so you don't necessarily have to be a fan of the graphic novels to appreciate it. But from what I've seen, it looks pretty entertaining, aside from Natalie's shaved head, because she is a hottie. I'd rather see her with the long flowing locks, like in Star Wars Episode 3. If you can get over her looking more like Kyle than Queen Amidala, go check it out.
Yeah, and also, if you're thinking, oh, Wachowski, it's going to be action-packed like The Matrix, it isn't the same type of story. This is more of a drama. Another futuristic cautionary tale involving, you know, anarchy and weird things, when a society dynamic sort of take.
And being the Wachowskis, I can only hope that this is the one and only V for Vendetta movie they're going to release, because if it is a trilogy, they'll destroy the franchise by the third flick.
And then they'll come out with a new video game and write an all-new ending.
Exactly. And if you haven't got enough of the sneak peeks for the X-Men's third installment, you can head over to superherohype.com, where they have a brand new humongous gallery of official high-res pictures of a lot of the characters that are going to be appearing in this next movie. Pictures of Juggernaut, Jean Grey, Iceman, Cyclops, Colossus, Callisto, Beast, Angel, Wolverine, Rogue, Pyro, Professor X, Mystique, Magneto, and Kitty Pryde. And I actually hit the website just a few minutes before the podcast started. They actually have some on-set photos as well. So if you're an X-Men fan, go over and check it out. There's actually two different pictures of Kelsey Grammer as Beast. So if you were disappointed with the first picture that was out, check out the second picture, and you'll probably still be just as disappointed.
To me, he's always Fraser Crane. But yeah, what about Peter, Paul, John, and Ringo?
I think they missed their casting call.
Damn. You're listening to the Big Ball Broadcast. Still to come, we're going to read some email and tell you all the ways you can get in touch with the shoe.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Time to check in with the Big Ball Broadcast listener line.
I took the survey, and y'all should too. My really, really crappy argument for the, if you can even call it an argument, but the movie ad commercial thing, it kind of actually helps add to the experience. It kind of grabs your attention. Okay, I'm sitting in a theater, and I'm watching a big movie. It's a little bit more annoying on a DVD, but usually you can skip it, and I'm not for 15 minutes of commercials before every single movie, but not that bad, so I guess I'll be able to adjust to it, at least if it comes over here in New York. See you guys later. Osaka's justice will never die!
Got something to say? Leave it on the Big Bald Broadcast listener line. Call 818-574-3607. That's 818-574-3607. Your call might end up on the show.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
This is the Big Ball Broadcast, episode 17, with Kyle Hebert and Otherworld Steve. Got some email here. If you would like to drop us a line, you can send an email or an MP3 audio of yourself to thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. This first letter comes from an individual in Puerto Rico. How cool is that?
That is totally cool. I believe our first fan from Puerto Rico.
That's right. So it says, hello, my name is Giovanni Menendez. I'm 18, and I'm from, well, the title says it all. Anyway, I want to give a shout out to both of you guys for a great show. I just started podcasting, and I'm enjoying it so far, so keep up the good work, Kyle and Steve. Congratulations on everything you've achieved. I don't exactly know if I'm the first one from Puerto Rico, but I think I am. Yes, you are, Giovanni. Anyway, I really wish I could go out there and meet a lot of people in the industry, but tickets are so darn expensive, and not to mention we have been outcast because to this date there hasn't been a single convention of any sort here on the island, which is frustrating. We're the same soil, but it's like I'm in China and you are in England. Well, gotta wrap this up. Keep it going, guys. It's a real innovative thing you're doing here for all of us fans, and I, for one, appreciate it deeply. It's not common that we get that privilege, so thanks. Thank you, Giovanni.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. It certainly helps Kyle and I remain motivated to do this on a weekly basis. Again, we don't get paid for doing this, and believe me, your words of praise or just your words of appreciation probably mean a lot more to us than a check. If you gave us words of praise and a check, we'd really dig that. But yes, the kind words, they do mean a lot. We don't get a heck of a lot of feedback, hence why we pester you guys for feedback on a weekly basis. But getting feedback like that, it really makes us feel good.
Got another email here from another part of the globe here. Check this out. It says, hey guys, I just want to say that you have reached me here in New Zealand. My friend has given me a CD full of podcasts he has downloaded, as we are also thinking about making our own podcast. And can I just say I was so impressed by your show and how professional it sounds. Of course, being a voice actor, I suppose you've done that before. I remember when Kyle came and visited my hometown Wellington about 2 years ago, and I unfortunately was playing in a DBZ card tournament at the time at Armageddon Con, and was so sorry that I missed him. But just wanted to advise you guys that you have a winner on your hands, and how cool it is that you guys can do this on such a regular basis. And also congrats to Kyle for getting a part on Naruto, and for Otherworld Steve for the underground PlayStation beta testing, as I doubt they would do that over here. Thanks for reading my ravings, and rock on. Alex Costas, New Zealand.
Thank you so much, Alex. If you're listening, we thrive on your feedback. We live for it. We want to know if we're doing a good job. We want to know if we're doing a bad job. We want to know if there's topics you'd like us to elaborate on, or if there's topics we're not touching on that you'd like us to bring up. So thank you for the feedback, and we hope to get much, much more.
We're going
to
wrap up this episode of the Big Ball Broadcast. We've got a very special edition coming next week, Otherworld Steve's Conspiracy Corner. Yeah, we're going to learn all about all sorts of conspiracy-type things going on. But let's wrap up this show with the multitude of ways you can get in contact and be involved. First of all, once again, that email address is thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. Our listener line is 818-574-3607. Our official blogger page is www.bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. Make sure that you check out the listener feedback survey. Take that, because we need to know about the listening audience, okay? It'll only take a few minutes. Promise, it's quick and painless.
And you may have noticed the PayPal donation link. It is in no way a requirement to listen to the show, but like feedback, we really appreciate it by you guys showing the support. So if you're so inclined, go ahead and hit that button. Throw us a few bucks. It's only going to help to make this podcast better, maybe to get some prizes together for some future contests, or potentially be able to podcast on a more frequent basis than once a week. So if you like what you hear, hit the link, and we'll make it worth it for you.
Also, if you scroll down underneath the contact info on the left-hand column, you'll see a little icon for Feedburner, and that's not a counter of how many people visit the page. That's actually a counter for how many people have downloaded the episode each day. So you can actually watch as our audience continues to grow, and Steve and I are just, our jaws hit the floor when we hit past 100 a day, and now we've consistently hit that number since then. So we see that 2006 is just going to be a really big year for us. So thank you all for downloading the show.
And I know Christmas is right on our doorstep, but you still have time. You have this limited window to go ahead, visit www.kyleabear.com/anime.htm, and you can order a Dubs for Life t-shirt. What that is, it's showing your support for dubbed anime. Now, as Kyle and I talked about in the last podcast, we're not saying that dubbed anime is the only way to watch your anime. What we're saying is, if you do appreciate dubbed anime, show it with pride. If you have a family member or a friend in your life who's a big dub fan, follows the careers of certain voice actors like Kyle, you can go over and order them one just in time for Christmas. So again, that URL is www.kyleabert.com/anime.htm. Act quick and get one before the Christmas rush.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for the Big Ball Broadcast Episode 17. Next week, a very special edition, the Otherworld Steve's Conspiracy Corner episode. So until then, I'm Kyle Hebert.
And this is Otherworld Steve.
See ya!
Promotional consideration provided by the R5 Central Podcast and Broadcast Gamer. Special musical transition provided by End of October. Remember, stay geeky, or I'll shoot your wife in the shoulder.